Who can be unpossessed? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with a thought for today. Who can be unpossessed? Have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried to be unpossessed? And when you recognize that you're being possessed? We all tend to be possessed of many things. We're possessed of our past. We're possessed of our hopeful future. We're possessed of our present. The only thing in reality that we are not possessed of is the now. Because when we are active in the now, we're not possessed of it or non-possessed of it. It's just there. We are just doing it. Who can be unpossessed of the past? Well, the geniuses of our world are unpossessed of the past because they have let that go. If they were to live in the past, like many people do, they would not be accomplishing anything in the now. They would not be doing anything right now in a wonderful, beautiful way. They would not be looking toward tomorrow. They would not be looking toward the world that they're living in. But who can be unpossessed? Whoever wants to be. It's just a matter of saying, say, c'est la guerre, c'est la vie. So it is. It's past. It is over. Now I'm dealing with the now. I'm dealing with this moment. You look at your dog. That's a good way to look at it. My dog. My dog is Rex. And am I possessed by Rex? I am delighted in Rex. I enjoy Rex. I think he's a wonderful dog, but I'm not possessed by him. If Rex were to be gone and not with me anymore because he went to another house, to another land, or he died, or whatever, I could be sorry for a moment and then release him and then go on to my next dog. This is how each one of us can handle our life if we wish. We can go on to our next experience from the past. My wife and I were very active in churches in various communities where we owned and published newspapers, or where I was editor of newspapers over many years. And as we were active in the churches, we got to know the people, we got to like the people, we got to participate in the activities. In fact, we were very active in all community activities because that was part of my work. But when we moved to another city, to another newspaper, my wife would try to hold on to those people that she had known before because they were so wonderful and she enjoyed them so much and they were so very terrific. Well, as we gained new friends in our new community, as we gained new relationships in our new world, we had to let the old ones go because there just wasn't time enough to take care of all the old ones and the new ones. Now, today, I am far beyond many experiences that I had. I had experiences back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 100s, and I had all these experiences. And many of the people are on my mailing list. Many of the people are still corresponding with me. Many of the people, though I may not particularly correspond directly with them, they receive the gist, they receive my publications, they receive my emails, they receive my internet talks, and they hear me, and they oftentimes say, that was a nice talk, and I enjoyed that, and they correspond. But now, I remember them as they were when I knew them. Now, truly, they have changed quite amazingly over the years. Many years have gone by, half a century or more. And as this time has gone by, they have changed their attitudes and changed their ways of living. But one of the things they never did was they've never changed from admiring and enjoying my writings and my talks. Now, I'm not possessed by them, and they're not possessed by me. They don't have to come and live in my neighborhood. They don't have to come and live in my house. They don't have to be a personal touching relationships with me, they are in my world. And they are beautiful experiences in my world. They are glorious experiences in my world. And as I think of them at any particular time, that they write me a letter or something, I think of them at the prime, at the peak, at the top of the experience that we had together. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. But I'm not possessed by them, and they're not possessed by me. A parent cannot be possessed by a child. As the child grows and leaves home and goes off, the child does its own thing. And if the child did not go and do its own thing, the parent would be surprised and unhappy, because it's time for the child to go and do its thing. Now, has the parent prepared the child to go and be free and to do its own thing? Has the parent prepared the child to be non-possessed? Or has the parent always said, you must do this for me, you must do that for me, you must do the other thing? And when the parent does that, that's a possession on the parent's side, and that's teaching possession to the child. And when the child and parent have this possessive relationship to one another, it's very difficult to break the apron string, to leave home, to get off on a new adventure on what life is all about. And then possession is a very real and a very limiting experience for both parent and child. Who can be unpossessed? Well, when you're perfectly honest about it, everyone can. The bird takes its little fledglings and kicks them out of the nest. And if they fly and go, they're on their way. If they don't fly, they hit the ground and they're injured and they die. Now, do you think the bird, mother bird, loves the baby bird? Oh, yes. But it's part of the tradition. It's part of the change of the guard. It's part of the release of the child to go its way. And parents of our our parents release us and let us go our way and do our thing. And as we do this, it's wonderful. I often say, when I was in the service, I had written home regularly, as every child does and every service person does to their mother and father, and say, here's what I'm doing, it's wonderful. And sometimes the mother would write back in once a week or something like that, maybe more often. Well, my dad wrote me one letter while I was in service, and I was in service for a number of years. And the one letter that he wrote was, do everything to make yourself proud of yourself, and have a lot of fun enjoying your life there in service. Now, that's all he said to me. Now, did he love me? Did he love me? Did he really mean that I'm his favorite son? There were three of us boys and two girls. No. Well, all it meant was that he loved me, and basically he loved himself. He was the parent who was able to kick his fledglings out of the nest and let them fly and let them do wonderful things. But while the fledgling was in the nest, he taught the fledglings what he felt were valuable values to live by. The mother taught them values, and the brothers and sisters taught values. There's all these things. So when the child, when the fledgling is ready to leave the nest, then it can be unpossessed. Many birds never see their fledgling again, ever. They fly off to their adventures and search for food and search for partners and search for this and that, and they don't even remember their mother and dad. Now, some animals, some creatures do have a long relationship life with their families, baboons and monkeys and people like that. But are they possessed? Well, they might be. I think that the stories we read about animals that have lost their fledgling and the mourning that they do for them is more human mourning than it is the animal mourning. because the animal sniffs the body, and when there's nobody at home in the body, it goes on. Very, very seldom does it remain with the body. Very seldom. Sometimes it might feel that's all it's ever known, and there's nothing else to know, but pretty soon when the bugs crawl in and the bugs crawl out of the body, the little fledgling goes its way and finds some new beings with whom to play. And let's go of the past. Let's go of this unpossessed attitude, this unpossessed world that they're in. Now, we can all let go of our past. We can all let go of the people in our world and just love them. And here at the monastery, we have a game that we play, and the game is my socks, my pants, my shirt, my tie, my shoes, my world, my bed, my room, my computer. And you see, it's all one great big lie, because here at the monastery, everything belongs to the monastery. Nothing belongs to any individual. Everything belongs to the organization. And people come here because they want to learn to be unpossessed. They want to be non-judgmental, and they want to learn to be self-dedicated and do all these important things. And having them realize that nothing they have, because whenever anyone comes to the monastery, the first thing they do is to take everything they are and everything they have and turn it over to the monastery. Now, in the monastery, Ellen, who is our CEO, she might say to the people, okay, now, these clothes you brought with you, continue to wear them and continue to enjoy them. This jewelry that you have here, we are not much into jewelry, but this jewelry you have, if you feel that you must parade it around, go ahead. If you feel that you must go to the hairstylist and do all these things to make yourself look pretty and stuff like that, okay, go ahead. But what we want to teach you, what we want to share with you, is to not be possessed by that. You have an inner beauty. You have an inner magic about you, and truly we do. And the inner magic about us cannot come out so long as we go to the beauty shop and we have them put all sorts of goodies over the surface of our inner beauty. And when we wear clothing that is frilly and lovely, that's great, but it hides the real beauty of who we are. We learn to be unpossessed when we learn to find that all things that we look for in the outer, or we claim in the outer, friendships or clothing or what have you, that the real beauty is within, that the real magic is within, that the real goodness is within. That's who we are. That's who we really are. We really are this wonderful being that we've clouded over with clothing, we've clouded over with cosmetics, we've clouded over with beautiful ways of making our hair look gorgeous. It's like many of the people from foreign countries, they have interesting hairdos, and they bring them with them to America. And America has its own styling, its own ways of doing things. Well, who can be unpossessed? Well, when you first glimpse the inner beauty of who you are, when you first glimpse how magnificent the divine is within you, then you do your very best to free that divine picture and let it shine out of your eyes, shine out of your radiance, your smile. Let that inner divinity be your charisma. Oh, yes. Let that inner divinity be your charisma. And when you let that inner divinity be your charisma, you can be unpossessed so simply, because you are only delighting in who you are. You're delighting in the fact that your eyes see all of the world as beautiful and good and peace. You delight in the fact that all the foods that you eat are foods that are delightful to you, but they're not necessary. you eat them, and you say, that's nice. The clothing you wear is only clothing that keeps you warm, or is modesty clothing that you wear. The only things that you do, not that they're yours, but they're universal. And when you live in this inner divinity, this inner charisma of your divine beingness, you have no desire for anything. You can give away everything you have and so freely give it away and so sincerely give it away without expecting it back. Then you're unpossessed. When my friend, the judge in Switzerland, gave me his old, battered, beat-up coat, it was a treasured item of his. And I needed a coat at the time because the weather turned inclement. And so he gave me that coat, and he told me to keep it. Well, the sleeves were too short. The coat was strange in many ways, but I treasured that coat because it was him being unpossessed of something very wonderful in his life. That coat had been on him for many, many years, and he thoroughly enjoyed it. And when Fulvio gave that to me, I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he said, you're welcome. Now, he was releasing it. He didn't even say, whenever he saw me wearing it, oh, how do you like my coat? He just said, you look good in that coat. And he released it. Now, can you release things too? Can you let things go and not own them anymore? Can you be unpossessed by all in the world, and in the very act of being unpossessed, everything, truly everything, belongs to you? When you learn the art of non-possession, the art of giving away all that you have with no remembrance, when you can give away your prized coat, your prized possession. It's like the story of the rabbi. The woman went to the rabbi and said she wanted to have a baby. And he said, well, you go home and you find your prized possession, that which you have prized more than anything in the world, and bring it to me. So she went home and she found this coat of hers that was very prized possession, something very precious to her, something that had always meant more than anything could ever mean. And she wrapped it up and took it to the rabbi. And now the rabbi was moving around in various areas, and she had to find him. So she searched him out, and she searched him out. And when she searched him out and finally found him and gave him the coat, he said, you shall have your baby. And within a short time, she was pregnant and had her baby. Now, a friend of hers wanted to have a baby too, and she said, oh, well, I'll take my coat and give it to the rabbi. And her friend said, no, no, you go talk to the rabbi. So she took her coat and she went to talk to the rabbi. And she said, Rabbi, here's my coat. I'd like to have a baby. And the rabbi said, you have not taken your most prized possession and brought it to me. When you go and get your most prized possession and bring it to me, then we'll see. Well, the woman was unable to take what really were her prized possessions, the possessions of her heart, and give them up for even having a child. And she never had a child. She was barren all of her life. Now, when we talk about being not possessed, unpossessed, when we talk about that, and we want to be unpossessed, non-possessed, it's not just a flibbertigib thing. It's not just something that we do off of the top of our mind. is something that comes from the very depth of our heart. It's something that we truly do believe is something very treasured to us. And when we learn in our daily activities to give up those things in our life that we treasure deeply and we enjoy so much in our life, but when we can freely give them up and no longer be possessed by them, no longer own them and say, it's my coat. And the first woman gave her prized possession to the rabbi, and it was no longer her coat. It was now a coat, and the rabbi gave it to someone else. Are we able to give up our prized possessions? If we are not, we will be possessed forevermore. And as we teach ourselves to give our possessions, have no possessions, enjoy everything, we'll find that we have everything. And as we find we have everything, nothing owns us, controls us, or makes us feel sad in its passing. Today, proclaim in your life, I am unpossessed. I freely have everything in the world for me to enjoy, and I freely give whatever I have to all the world. And in this giving, I am the richest, most fabulous expression of goodness that ever walked the face of the earth. Say this for yourself now. It's a glorious experience. Who can be unpossessed? You can. I can. When I totally give of myself, knowing that all is in divine order, all is wonderful, now and forevermore. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.